I'll start in just a couple minutes, Lee, and then I'll introduce you, and then you'll be off and running.
Okay.
I have 6:58.
I'm going to screen share. Weinheimer, you're on charge now, dude. I'm going to go to this.
It's 7 o'clock, so we'll begin. Good evening, everyone. Beth Stevens, past district governor and serving as the global leadership team district coordinator this year. And I'm pleased that everyone's joining us this evening for our Leadership Friday with our club officer training for club treasurer. We will start off with all the participants in mute. We are recording the session. There will be an opportunity at the end of the session for questions and answers. Lion Homer is monitoring the chat box. If you do have a question that comes up, you can enter it into the chat box, or when the question and answer session time comes, you can raise your hand and Lion on Mac will unmute you. At this time, it's my honor to introduce to you past District Governor Lee Winder, who has served as Cabinet Treasurer for the Lions for many years and is very experienced in the area of accounting, a CPA, and he is going to share his knowledge with us this evening. Lion Lee, take it off.
Thank you, PDG Beth. Good evening, Lions and guests, and of course, my good friends. Glad you could join us this evening. I know it's a Friday evening, and it's you can find a lot of other good things to do. So I'm real proud that you were able to join me here this evening to discuss duties of Lion Club treasurers. I want to congratulate the ones in the groups in the group who have just been elected as treasurer. I know some of you have repeated that position more than once. Of your Lions Club. This indicates to me that your club members feel that you're dependable, you're organized, you're capable, and you're honest. You can meet these expectations by being well prepared. I think that attending this training session is a good step in that direction. You can further expand your abilities by attending other district training sessions and taking some LCI courses. Beside me here tonight, I have a paper copy of the Club Treasurer eBook. It's a wonderful document. It's a document that you can download on your computer, and it will lead you to all kinds of LCI training to be a club treasurer and to do many other things in the Lions Club. You can further expand your abilities by also attaining district training sessions, which we'll have some when we do our fall conference, and a number of other courses you can take. I had just completed, as Beth said, 2 years as treasurer of our district, 24I. This was a challenging position to take because we were consolidating districts B and D. Each district had complete different mindsets on handling a district funds and expenses and so forth. And it was a little bit scary to me to take that position, but I'm glad that I did, because immediately I was able to meet with Lion Yvonne Green and a number of the officers in District D, and we were able to put the budget together for both districts and get it approved, and we were off and running. One of the first things that I encountered, and I actually by accident, by looking at our district website, it said that all clubs and districts since 2016 would have to file form, Internal Revenue Service form 8976, by internet and pay a $50 fee in order to qualify to operate under 501c4, which all clubs and districts are 501c4. In order to operate under the LCI umbrella. That was an internet requirement. It's the only way it can be filed and to pay a $50 fee by internet. I was not aware of that, and it was something that had come in effect in 2016. I was able to get in under the timetable of 60 days, and we got that done. Another thing that I had to perform was file a sales and use tax form with the state of Virginia to qualify for the tax certificate of exemption. That went pretty smooth. That was all internet requirement. After that, I found that a number of clubs were having problems because the new requirement starting in 2019 was all clubs had to have a sales and use tax exemption certificate, and they could no longer use that certificate that was issued to 24B. We were all using that as our exemption certificate, and the state would not allow it anymore. However, the state began to ask questions of clubs in order to get the certificate, to show a proof that they had been exempt and that they had filed their papers and got exemption from the Board of Agriculture and Consumer Affairs with the state. I immediately looked into that and did a lot of research. And as some of you know, I taught a class on that, did a one-hour session last October at our district meeting in Farmville. Anyway, I tried to file one for our district and get an exemption under one of their classifications of only member participation for contributions, etc. But I got denied under that exemption, and it turned out, we had to file for a continuous annual requirement on the form, which was a Form 102. I got that completed just within a month ago, and I got the certificate from the state of Virginia. The epidemic caused some delay in that, but I finally got that done. Next slide. This evening, I'm going to do a short introduction of club treasurers. We're going to talk about the club leadership team, responsibilities of the club treasurer, planning your term, which I'm sure that all of you have already done, but we'll go over it so the information will be out there, and then when the epidemic is over and things are smoothed out, you can help your club get on track. And then we'll discuss some resources, which I've just mentioned one a few minutes ago. Next slide. As a treasurer, you're an integral part of the leadership team, working to support the club president so that president can get out in the community and accomplish those projects that he or she had planned for the year. help support your local community and surrounding areas. However, it's important to remember that as club treasurer, you are part of something much bigger. Next slide. I'm now presenting you with a club leadership organization chart of the whole club leadership team. If you look at this, you'll see that the club members, elected board of directors, and the club officers, president, secretary, vice presidents, and the treasurer. And if you look at this chart down the bottom right-hand side, you'll see the position of a treasurer. Next slide. As treasurer, you're an integral part of the leadership team. So you're responsible for all the financial requirements of your club, and you have to be very conscious of different policies and procedures that are shaped dealing with your position. So one thing that you want to be conscious of is a surety bond. Your board of directors will want to purchase a surety bond, but you have to be careful that if your club has funds of just a few thousand dollars, then you probably don't want to buy a surety bond to protect your position. Other things that will come up, the board of directors should have authorized two separate funds for your money, such as the administrative and the activity fund. Other things that will come up when you're on the board of directors is power to modify, override, or rescind the actions of other officers of the club. Now, you need to be conscious of that, because you need to know that if different policies or decisions that you make concerning finances, that the board actually has a power to override that. So you have to be careful on what you do and positions that you take, such as writing checks. You make sure that they're authorized. The board will probably appoint or recommend a financial committee for you as treasurer. And that's usually only applies if your club is a certain size. Otherwise, it will all probably fall on your responsibility. The board of directors have the authority to authorize all expenditures, create any indebtedness of the club. So you have to make sure that no liabilities are established beyond what monies that you raise for the current year. Another thing that might come up is the audit committee. If an audit committee is appointed, you want it probably to be somebody that's been a past officer of the club, somebody that's astute in the business affairs, somebody that's well-known in the community. So all books should be audited once a year. Next slide. We now want to look at the responsibilities of the club treasurer. As a club financial officer and member of the board of directors, your primary responsibilities include attending all club and board meetings, prepare club budgets, set annual membership dues, making payments on behalf of the club, maintaining club financial records, filing club taxes. Next slide. Now, this is usually the schedule that you'll have to follow, and you probably want to check this out before you accept this responsibility of the different days set by your club for monthly quarterly and annual dates. So as a club treasurer, monthly you'll be attending board of directors meetings, club regular meetings. And you also have to be conscious when you attend these meetings monthly that you need to bring a financial report, which should include a balance sheet, statement of revenue and expenses, comparison of those revenue and expenses with the budget. And that actually indicates that you'll have to be timely. You need to do this work on a daily basis to keep it current, because the time rolls by pretty quickly and you don't want to spend long hours getting ready for a meeting like the next evening. So be very organized, have a good system, keep things simple so that you'll have those reports ready for those meetings. There are also other meetings that might occur, such as board of directors special meetings. In order for the board of directors to call special meetings, they have to have at least 3 board members to call the meeting. They might be special club meetings called, and for a club to have a special meeting, they have to give you a 10-day notice. Annually, you'll have the club transition meeting, which is the meeting that you install the new officers, etc., and you usually have a charter anniversary. Next slide. We will now discuss responsibilities of the club treasurer. The first and one of the main things that the club treasurer has to do is prepare a club. And of course, we know the budget is usually prepared. Theoretically, the best way for this to be done is at the end of the year by the treasurer going out of office. And it usually doesn't happen that way. It's usually the incoming treasurer that works on this. But actually, it'd be better if the outgoing treasurer had at least some responsibility in help getting this together. This responsibility would be done in conjunction with the finance committee, if you have one, with the president of the club. And it should be approved, given to the board for approval at the first meeting of the year. And as I said, each club has 2 budget, an administrative and activities. Next slide. Okay, the first budget, what goes in the first budget that we're going to discuss is an administrative budget. The administrative budget is used for internal running of the club. The income that goes in this fund is usually the dues, tail-twisting money, and money that's raised directly from the members, such as card games and different games conducted during the year. Sometimes you have some contributions from members to keep the administrative fund going. The expenses that come out of the administrative fund are international dues, the District 24 dues, and other costs related to your club operations. In our club, we also collect within the dues the meal costs. So our dues run about $100 a quarter, which includes not only in that fee, but little items such as printing and postage costs, club awards, supplies, postage, etc. But all of those type operating expenses for a club go in the administrative budget. In the activity budget, we all know that that deals with outside charity activities, fundraising projects, other different public projects that we might have, might be some grants. Expenses from the activities budget are the direct cost of fundraising, such as the stickers for White Can, other expenses to get the projects done. as well as donations to Lions Club International, Lions of Virginia Foundation, and other charitable activities such as eyeglasses furnished to those in need and eyesight examinations. Under no circumstances should you take the income from the public club projects and pay administrative expenditures. You're not allowed to loan money from one fund to another. You can get in some very serious problems with that. So be very careful. Be very careful that all the money is deposited in the bank and all the expenses are done by expending money from bank accounts, you know, whether it's by check or, well, it's by electronic means. Next slide. It's important to choose a report format that is clear, easy to follow, and accurate. Now we have a copy here of a budget. And if you notice on the left-hand side, it gives you the financial statement for the year that we are looking at in order to do our budget for the next year. So we, I mentioned earlier, let's keep this simple. Keep it easy to read. Make sure that the revenue and the expenses balance when you make up this budget. If you, I said earlier, for each monthly meeting that you need to give a financial report, revenue and expenses, this is a fine example on the left-hand column of a good form of presentation of revenue and expenses. Balance sheet, of course, if you just have cash and no other assets, then you can very easily some way work that in the schedule to give the cash balance, and that would substitute for the balance sheet. When you get ready to prepare this budget and you get a chance to work with the outgoing club treasurer, that's a tremendous resource that could be a big help in helping you to do this. The first thing, and you'll notice on this illustration of this budget, that the expenses are shown first and the revenue shown second. And the reason for that is you first have to get out and check with each person responsible for each category, do mathematics on number of members and dues coming in. You have to construct the expenses expected for the next year first, and then go to the chairman of the different committees that will be producing the revenue or do the mathematical computation of collections for dues, et cetera, and see that you're going to raise enough money to match the expenses. And if you can't do that, then you need to go back to the persons or committees responsible for raising the revenue to see if they can meet the number for the expense, or you'll have to reduce that expense. So that's why the expenses are approached first, because they are easier numbers to come at. Then it's harder to do the planning to raise the revenue. So you want to make sure in the club budget that your revenue balances with your expenses. You'll notice on this illustration that under the activities which are shown first, this is two administrative and activities, that there is a curve of revenue from the prior year in order to make the activities fund balance. I don't know if you can see it close enough, but you'll see that this is an LCI presentation, and their administrative fund actually doesn't balance. You'll see that they're $25 short on the expected revenue to balance that budget. So in spite of the fact that they prepared this material, they made a mistake in that it does not balance, but it's not a big deal. Next slide. As I said earlier, we want to make sure in preparing this budget that it's a balanced budget, and that for the expenses that we plan to expend, that we have enough revenue coming in to meet those expenses. Next slide. We next want to discuss responsibilities of the club treasurer. And one of those responsibilities is, and this comes into play on the budget we just set, is setting annual membership dues. The treasurer sets annual club membership dues at an amount sufficient to operate the club and maintain its financial health. The treasurer sends out invoices for total member dues to members approximately 10 days before the start of the dues paying period. Now, in our club, we do not do it that way. We just do a budget for the whole year, and we center our dues quarterly. So in spite of this format that LCI gives us for this course, you might not follow this example exactly right, but you are an integral part of setting those annual dues in order to make sure that the club functions properly. Next slide. Discuss is the LCI statement that comes out once a month that charges the club, and this is important because this bill has to be paid pretty promptly each month as it comes in. It has to be audited, and it has to be paid because our club can be placed in financial suspension if you don't pay this within a certain period of time. So as the club treasurer, you need to pull this statement off of the LCI site, and it comes out about the third or the fourth of each month, and audit this bill for correctness. You can elect. They give you an election once a year to elect just to electronically receive your bill every month if you like. In other words, you can opt out receiving a paper bill if you want to. On this bill, you'll see each month charges, and of course you'll only every 6 months see the charges for membership dues. Which is July and January, actually through December and through June. On the 1st of July and the 1st of January, you get a statement for annual dues. You need to audit that for entry fees, charter fees, pro rata dues for new members, fees for reinstated members, dues for transfer and life members, and club supplies. Make sure you audit that each month. Next slide.
PDG Lee, can I ask you a question that has come up right here?
Yeah, sure.
It says, what is the time required to pay the bill?
It should be paid within timely during the month. I think you got until the end of the month to get that paid. I'm going to discuss that a little bit more in a few minutes.
But thank you, sir.
Ray brought something to my attention today, and I've looked at it this evening before this course started, which is something new to me. Usually, LCI will place your financial suspension if you owe more than, well, They usually will place you on financial suspension when a bill, when the bills get 90 days old. They'll give you until the 28th of the next month to get it paid, or they will put you in financial suspension and take your charter. So I'm thinking, and we'll discuss it a little bit more in a few minutes, it looks like that it comes into play a little bit stricter recently, that they want it paid if you've got a meeting coming up within 30 days. So I'll discuss that in a few minutes.
Thank you, sir. Sorry for interrupting. Uh-huh.
All right. That's okay. Next slide. Yeah, and I'm going to back up a minute, and I'm going to discuss what I said I was going to discuss. District Governor Ray, and we can talk about this at the end of the session, District Governor Ray sent me this, which is on the District Governor checklist. It says clubs in good standing are eligible to participate in local elections. The current dues billing must be paid, leaving no international dues and fees greater than $10 unpaid and balance over 90 days. Must not exceed $50. Payment must be received in 15 days prior to the local convention. So Ray was asking me about this because right now we have 50 clubs that still have not paid their first half LCI dues assessment, which were billed on the 28th of June. This would mean that, according to Ray, that 50 clubs are not in good standing, and any club cabinet member or PDG from that club cannot vote. I've studied that over, you know, and actually, as far as I know, clubs, I got this right here, clubs are in good standing, which is not in status quo, a financial suspension when amounts are not paid with by the 28th day of the third month would be placed in financial suspension, which means that LCI would give you a notice when you're 90 days overdue. If you don't pay it by the 28th of the next month, then they would take your charter and put it in suspension. However, I read this that Ray sent me tonight, and my interpretation is that I think that just applies to when the convention comes up, when you're electing officers and all for the next coming year, that would be the strict rule at that time. Otherwise, I don't think that would apply for voting at just regular meetings. That's not an election.
Lee?
Go ahead.
I think it was either Lion Homer or Lion Helen actually pulled up the DG checklist. And the DG checklist actually says
Excuse me, gentlemen. Uh-huh. Why don't we let Lion Lee finish with his club treasurer training, and then we're welcome to debate this issue at the end of his training.
Okay.
Because we're starting to get a lot of people saying they want to comment on this issue, Lee, and I don't want to take you off too far track of your treasurer training.
Yeah, that'll work perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. I'll get back to you on that. Next, this slide you've seen before, but this is to further put us further down the line, and we'll discuss making payments of club invoices and maintaining club financial records. Next slide. In order to discuss this, let's look at financial policies, and this will lead into financial records and how we should keep those. The board of directors shall formally approve all club bank accounts. We discussed about that earlier, and the two bank accounts need to be approved by the board of directors. All financial records should be audited annually. We talked about that earlier, and the policy is that we should get somebody to audit those accounts once a year. The treasurer pays all monies only on the authority of the board. So any invoice that comes in, you have to make sure as treasurer that it has been approved. Now, I've had this question come up before, and I think it's from Lion Helen. If the board approves a budget, then does that mean as treasurer I can go ahead and pay all those invoices as they come in? Maybe yes, maybe no. The board can override anything that you do as treasurer. So you have to make sure when the budget is approved that you have a clear understanding that everything that's approved in that budget, you can approve it when it comes from a club, a project, a club chairman, any committee. You need to have a clear understanding just what you can pay and what you can't pay as far as invoices are concerned. For the district, I made sure that each check that I wrote that I had an approval either from the person that was responsible for that particular project, such as a convention, a bland, whatever, that it had been approved in the budget. When they sent me a bill, I would pay it. Any of the district governor, if he or she had not already approved it, get approval, and I would get that approval back, and I'd staple it to the invoice when I paid it and put it in the folder for audit. One thing as a policy we have to be careful of, and we mentioned this earlier, you cannot create an indebtedness beyond the current income of the club. So if you wanted to make a commitment to a charity next year for a certain that you'll contribute a certain amount of money like we do as individuals, you cannot do that. You cannot take a pledge for future expenses. Next slide. We'll now talk about financial paper trails. When the audit committee came, Mike Petty, a couple of weeks ago to audit my files, this is what I had available for him that I had kept pretty current all year long and placed in a separate file. My paper trail files were, when the committee came in, I gave them one file with financial statements for each board meeting that we had conducted during the year, and I had to bring a financial report plus an end of the year financial report. Those financial statements consisted of a balance sheet, statements of receipts and disbursements, with a comparison with the approved budget from the first of the year. I presented another folder with bank deposits for receipts and date order. So every check that came to my office, however I received it at a meeting, et cetera, I would make up a deposit and I would take whatever proof I had, an envelope, if it came in by envelope, or it had a piece of paper in it telling me what funds they were designated for. And that's one thing about the district is almost all money that comes into the district is designated for a line item, which is a little bit different from a lot of clubs. But the district has designated funds almost for every line item. I would take that paper, I would take the deposit slip and staple it to the top, and I'd put it in the folder in date order. I gave them another file for paid invoices in check order. So each invoice I received to pay, I would attach to that email any type of approval, and I would staple it all together, and I would write on that invoice the date of the payment, the check number, et cetera, and I put it in one file in date order. Now, if an organization is bigger than the district, club bigger than the district, you might want to have an alphabetical file for paid invoices. But the district business was of the size that I only had one folder. I had another folder with bank statements with a monthly bank reconciliation. The activity with the district was not excessive, so I was most of my bank reconciliations were done right on the statement, one for the administrative and one for the activity fund. It was with BB&T, and they actually placed the cash balances for both accounts on one bank statement. I put the ledger sheets, which in my case were Excel worksheets because the number of activities were not very large, so I just kept a ledger spreadsheet on Excel for all the expenses and categorized by accounts in order to prepare the financial statements. A lot of you clubs I know use electronic. I had an electronic system set up for the district. I never used it because the activity was not excessive, so I just did most of it manually and used computer Excel worksheet to keep track of the activities. And in the other folder, I had a copy of the tax return, which was a 990N post, which is a postcard filing with the Internal Revenue Service. That was a paper trail for the district. So this list given by Lions International for this presentation, they say all monies, regardless of source, must be deposited as received in a board-approved bank account. One thing they caution you about, never take cash that you receive from a project and pay an expense of that project. All payments should be made by a check or electronic payment from a bank account. So all money should flow to a bank account and come back out of the bank account in order that you have a good financial paper trail. I have ran across situations dealing with Lions in which one situation, the treasurer would put the money in their account and pay it out with their credit card or debit card, which you definitely can't do that. Receipts for all payments should be maintained in a file that's open for the audit committee and club members. And I went over that from my district. Same thing applies. Keep it in a file in the check order. Next slide. The next slide deals with paper trail for keeping your records for a number of years. Now you notice here it says keep for a period of 7 years these records. And the seven-year rule actually is from the Internal Revenue Service requirements. The Internal Revenue Service can audit your records up to 3 years from the time you file a tax return. So that's a three-year period. But the IRS can go back more than 3 years if they can prove that you have left out of your tax return. They can go back up to 6 years. If you have left out of your tax return as much as 25% of your income. So if you had a proprietorship and you had a country store and you were selling all those items in the store and you left out, if they can prove you left out at least 25% of the revenue you produced from that store, then they can go back and audit your records for 6 years. So the real rule is 6 years plus the current year that you are working on. So that's where the seven-year rule comes from. The seven-year rule says that the records you must keep are your bank statements, your invoices and receipts, and tax returns or any other government filings. That's really all you need to keep for the seven-year rule. It's a good idea, of course, also to review current club practices with your current treasurer as to any other paper trails that you should maintain. Next slide. As a club treasurer, you're usually responsible for filing the tax return. If the revenue of your club is under $50,000, then you can use the Internal Revenue Service site and electronically file a Form 990N, which is a postcard, which is referred to as a postcard filing. It's not easy. I mean, it's not difficult to do. It's very easy. You know, you just have to go on there and fill out the club name and the club EIN number, which is the employer identification number, put that you are under $50,000 and file it. Not hard to do. If your club fails to file a 990N or a 990 easy if you're over the $50,000 or a 990 if you're even bigger, but if you fail to file within a three-year period, then the government can suspend you from being a 501c4. And you're actually at that point a corporation under the corporation rules. You have to file a tax return and you have to pay taxes on your revenue, net revenue earned. So you have to be very careful that you don't get on the suspension list. You know, check with your club, outgoing club treasurer to make sure that they file the 999 district postcard. So I know that the district, sure that your club is current. And if not, make sure that they have filed it within a three-year period or get it filed, because you can go in suspension and you can no longer hook up and operate under LCI's umbrella because you've been placed in suspension and you have to go through all the legal formality of filing a form with the Internal Revenue Service in Baltimore, which is a very time-consuming project. You know, getting together all your legal documents, constitution, bylaws, et cetera, and all the proof in order to qualify for 501c4 again. And it could cost you, in terms of getting it prepared, maybe a lawyer. Plus, I think the fee now is $400 in order to get reinstated. So make sure you stay current with the tax filing. If your club's not current and you've been placed on suspension, you can check it out with the Internal Revenue Service website. There's a place to go to see if you're on suspension and you want to definitely get your club reinstated. You can feel free to call me if you have questions about that, or you can check with Lions Club International. Next slide. The next thing that we want to discuss is planning your term as club treasurer. And I'm sure that at this point, since this is late this year due to our current current epidemic and the situation we are and getting planned and get going, you maybe have already done this. But it's a good idea to go over it so we all can get in sync and you can pass it on to your club members or your incoming treasurer next year. These are the steps that you want to take to better prepare yourself. And it's supposed to be done before you take office, but you still probably need to look at it. one thing that you want to do, if you are in common club treasurer, attend club officer training, which you're doing today. We offer a lot of courses through the district, off and on all during the year. Make sure that you take those courses. You want to meet with your current treasurer and audit committee to determine the status and balances of all club amounts, club accounts. So you want to look at the administrative and the activities fund to make sure that everything is current and they are organized and as we have discussed this evening. You want to help the incoming president select a finance committee if you have a finance committee that you're going to be responsible for. Most clubs do not because of the size. You want to review the club's current budget so you better understand the club's monetary needs. You want to confirm a location of bank accounts and obtain necessary signatures. So on the last meeting of the year, the board should have a resolution naming those people who will go on the bank account as signatory powers. And they should also put on that resolution the ones that are being deleted. So make sure that the club at the last meeting of the year does a resolution placing you and whoever else is going to sign the account. You usually want two signatures. I know a lot of clubs can't do it because of a lot of considerations, but two signatures are preferred. Next slide. Other steps that you want to take to better prepare yourself, you want to select a format for your financial report that you want to present to the board of directors and the members each month. I said tonight, keep it simple. The format of the one we presented in the budget is a pretty straight, clear presentation, except you probably want to flip-flop it and put the revenue first and the expenses second. Because, you know, we said for budget, we want to do expenses first so we can better make sure that we have the revenue to meet the expenses. You probably want to do it in the other order, which is the generally accepted way that accountants do those statements. You want to set up a filing system that creates an audit trail for the auditor for the year. And we talked about that tonight, the different folders for invoices in check order, deposits in date order, bank reconciliations and bank statements in one file in order. If you use My LCI for reporting, you need to create your account and review training material. If you need help in setting your account up with MyLCI, make sure you download a copy of, as I referred to tonight, the Club Treasurer eBook, and that will guide you into helping you set up your MyLCI account. Another thing you want to do is work with the club secretary to confirm membership information for billing purposes. We talked about that somewhat tonight. In looking at the LCI invoices once a month and using that in whatever format they have for billing the members. Work with the club secretary to help prepare dues invoices for the members. We talked about that somewhat tonight. Next slide. In planning for your term, on a monthly basis, as we said before, we went over it, you will attend club and board meetings and you will present those financial statements that I referred to. Collecting money gathered by the secretary or you at the meeting and deposit it immediately the next day. Because I know at our club meeting, a lot of people will bring the check for dues and hand it to the treasurer. They'll have a card game, a drawing game. They'll have tail twister collecting fines. They give that all to the treasurer at the meeting. And you hope you keep it all straight until you get home and write it all out and put it in the bank the next day. Next slide. And annually, you need to prepare end of a year financial statement so you know how it looks on an annual basis, which is GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, reporting information on 12-month intervals. So you want to do a final end of the year statement. And you also want to file that tax return 990N on 990. Next slide. The last slide is what other resources can you go to learn to be a good club treasurer or to be a good lion? And as I said, one thing you definitely want to do is download a copy of the Club Treasurer ebook. And it's a tremendous good resource. It will lead you to the LCI library. And there are two courses that are given there for treasurer. And you'll find that a lot of material I presented tonight tie into those two courses. There are all types of material there in online courses and public relations, public speaking, meeting management, etc. LCI has some wonderful material, and PDG Beth, she's one of the best. She'll have all kinds of courses that you can take at the different meetings as we go, fall conference and the district meetings. So please make sure you take advantage of that. That's the end.
Thank you, Lee. And actually, we had
to say, and so we'll open it up for questions.
Okay, Brian Lee, you did have a question that came across the screen. Lion Keith asked, is keeping your records electronically allowed?
Yes, definitely so. Highly recommend it, yes.
Okay, and Lion Yvonne, the club treasurer for the Blind Lions Club, actually has a good practice of accepting money at club meetings. Lion Yvonne, would you like to share with the group what you do about accepting funds at the meeting?
Okay, I have a hard, fast rule that you cannot give me money in any shape or form that's not in an envelope. And I have a stamp, and it says date. You have to put the date, if it's a cash or a check, who you are, how much money's in that envelope, and what it's for. If you don't give it to me like that, I don't take it.
Good for you. That's good.
Well, there's 50 people in my club. There's no way for me to remember.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of cash raffles and money for bingo and things floating around, and that just makes it easier when she goes home to remember. I think that's a good practice. She has us all trained to put our money, you know, into envelopes. So,
yeah, I know. Like me, I say, well, I'll remember what that's for. And then by the time I get home, I don't know.
Yeah, never exactly. Going to happen. Never going to happen.
So, Lion Mac, does anyone else have their hand raised or any other questions if you'd like to unmute the group?
I know Ray wanted to talk about this.
Unpaid. Yeah, no, I don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it.
Let's hold that to the end. Mary Parker had a question.
Okay.
With our club, nobody actually hands the treasurer any money except for the secretary. As a they give it to the secretary, I verify it with them, and then I turn around and give it to the treasurer who's sitting right next to me, and he verifies it. So I'm the only one that is supposed to give him money.
That's good. That's great.
That's what we do as well. That's what we do.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I had a question. Is there any requirement for clubs to have two signatures on a check?
No, it's not. It's good internal control, but not a requirement.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
A question, PDG Lee. You said that you shouldn't use a club credit or debit card if they have one. Is that true?
No, I didn't. No,
or did I misunderstand?
I was saying I ran across a situation that the treasurer was just taking the cash and putting it in the pocketbook and then paying the bills with her card.
Personal account, okay. Not a club account.
Right.
A personal account, not a club account.
I actually had experience with that.
Yeah.
A couple more easy ones, if I may.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ann.
I'm not getting it through here.
Ann Ragland's being unmuted. She has a question for you.
Oh, okay.
I got a question about the IRS. Is it our end of our year or end of their year?
No, it's the end of your year, which is June the 30th. You have until November the 15th to get it filed. So
okay.
Your year end is June the 30th.
Okay.
We do have, in the old 24D, we had two clubs that used a calendar year, not a fiscal year with the IRS.
Yeah. Yeah, you run into that every now and then. Yeah.
All right, Homer had a couple more questions.
All right. Yeah.
Lion Lee, it was Lion Helen. I talked with her, and she said there is a very cheap version of an accounting program. Do you recommend something like that or just keep with an Excel format?
I recommend to do that. Probably go with the electronic if it's cheap enough.
Lion Helen?
Lion Lee? Uh-huh. If I can jump in here, what that is there's, for those of you who don't know, there's a website called TechSoup.org.
Yeah,
and you go on and they have a lot of hardware and software companies that provide products and services and all kinds of things. And we were able to get QuickBooks for nonprofits for $45.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. QuickBooks was, I think at the time it was about $450.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So all you're doing is paying an administrative fee, but I highly recommend take a look. You have to go on and qualify to be able to use the service, but I highly recommend it.
Right. You know, if you got the time to set it up, you know, for the payees and all on checks, you know, and, once you get it set up, you'll save yourself a lot of time if you can pass that software on to the next treasurer, or you do it more than 1 year, then it'll save you a lot of time in the long run. Yeah.
Well, and it's cloud-based, so it would be easy to transfer from, you know, one treasurer to another.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. Yeah.
Yep.
Of course, you can write your checks through the bank account too.
Do you have a question?
You got to get it set up. Any more?
I believe he said Lion Nancy had a question.
No, she did not.
Oh, did not. Oh, no. Right. I was.
Anyone else?
Helen doesn't have a question for me.
Yvonne Green has a question.
Yeah. Yvonne?
I do.
All right.
When they ask about electronic records and you said yes, I wondered if you were talking about using software versus keeping like PDFs instead of paper.
Oh, PDF instead of paper is good. Yeah. I was talking about both.
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions?
DG Scott had typed in. He had a comment to make.
All right. Scott?
There was some people were talking earlier about it, and Beth said to hold off, so I'm holding off on that. But one of the things that we did, Lee, for whenever the treasurer has received money from the club, we always recommended that either the president or the secretary, whoever was the other assignee, sign the check just for the interest of integrity.
Yes, that's great. Yes. It's a good rule.
Okay. Well, if there aren't any other questions, I want to thank everyone for joining.
I wanted to ask one quick question, if I could.
Oh, sure.
In reference to bonding, does anybody have any idea how much clubs are paying for bonding? Because I know we don't in COSIN, but any of the treasurers that are online have any, if any of them do bond their treasurer or their officers,
how much they're paying? We have insurance. We have the board insurance.
We have board insurance. Right.
Well, that's different than bonding.
Yeah, I know. LCI offers board insurance. I think it costs you something, though, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
Well, say for,
it's $500.
Yeah,
it's a scale.
That's isn't that more liability on the officers?
It is.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
It's nothing to do with bonding.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking.
Yeah, but you can get the club officer's liability coverage through LCI. A bond costs about between $400 and $500, I think.
I believe Ray Mueller has a question.
All right.
We got to unmute him.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Oh,
he's waving at me. I have to.
I'm trying, but I can't.
I'm asking him to unmute.
He has to unmute himself.
Yeah, there he goes.
Okay, how about that?
Can you hear me? Yep.
The Brookville Timberlake Club, we're just a small club, but we do bond the treasurer through State Farm, and we pay $90 a year.
Well, that's reasonable.
That's a lot better than I thought. Thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We also have the LCI insurance.
Yeah, we do use the LCI liability for the board, and it's based on the number of members you have in your club. And for our club, it's right at $400.
Ouch.
Yep.
How much, Ray?
$400.
400, is that what he said? Yeah.
Yes.
That's liability on officers, right?
Yeah.
It's scale. Our club pays $5. So it's based on your membership. Mm-hmm. The PDGJ, Ray, if you're interested, Nina Ambrose is a State Farm agent. So
we have a former member of our club that's our State Farm agent in the area.
Okay,
but
there you
former.
Go.
She's former.
We have Jake.
Time to recruit.
Are there any other questions?
We have Jake from State Farm.
That's good. That's good.
I got a blue shirt on.
Did Mac ask you what you were wearing, Lee?
Yeah, I'm wearing a blue shirt.
What you wearing, Jake?
Are there any other questions? Okay. Well, I'd like to thank Lee. You did a fantastic job. I think we all learned a lot tonight. Appreciate it. And for those who are interested on remaining on the line for the conversation about eligible to vote and financial suspension and all of that, please stay on the line and we'll continue that conversation.
Okay.
And those of you who are not, you can go ahead and leave. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
I'm glad the State Farm guy has his pants on.
Yeah. You can't tell him. I'm up at the table.
I don't mind listening.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Can I go ahead and speak?
Yeah, please.
Go ahead.
When we were doing the Membership Mondays with the NAMI, with the GATT team, this was brought up both during Membership Monday from start of July by June that we had. And as far as LCI is considered, as far as conducting business, No club status has changed since May.
You're breaking up, Scott. It's hard to hear you.
Yeah, I can't get it here either.
Okay. I don't know.
That's better.
That's much better.
Okay, yeah. I just more towards the mic. Okay.
Don't talk so fast.
We had those membership Mondays and the jump start in June. Those meetings, LCI has considered everybody in the same status they were in as of May before the convention. And they're going to remain that way until such time as we go back to conducting normal business, and then they will proceed from there. We will have a limited notification for when, how soon you need to get caught back up so that you maintain your good standing status. But right now, if you were in good standing in May, you're still in good standing.
Well, we have four clubs in the district that are over 90 days due, and they keep showing up on the health assessment. One of them is Gloucester. The other one is King William. And then Longwood University and Norfolk Ocean View. And it's because they haven't paid their January dues, not because of this recent one. So those are the only four I would be concerned about anyways. And frankly, this is the second time King William has been essentially in status quo because of non-payment of dues. And if I recall correctly, LCI Legal in the past, if it's your second time in a year, you're automatically suspended. But they haven't been. So, like you said, they're letting everything ride for now.
I think Longwood has the same problem EVMS does, and that's they get out before the dues come in, and so it's hard to.
Yeah, and they're also they're caught up with the COVID and nobody working and stuff right. because of it too. So,
exactly.
Yeah,
I know what that we had an four, issue before.
Well, I'm surprised at Ocean View being on that list.
Well, it's the June 17th list, and I didn't see a health assessment for July, which surprised the hell out of me, but. And you used to be able to download the health assessment off of the MyLCI, but I can't find it now.
There was a July health assessment.
Okay.
Helen Mueller would like to speak. She has her hand.
No, it's Helen Person.
Helen Person, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Just too many Helens.
My fault.
I'm sorry.
I'm Helen 2. She's
we have Helen 1 and Helen 2, and it just kind of depends on who wants to be number 2, I guess. But nevertheless, and that's usually me, not Helen Mueller. I'm the one that's number 2. Anyway, Longwood's membership, for the most part, graduated at the end of spring semester. So they are basically having to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once they get back on campus, we'll be able to go in there and try to help them get cranked back up again. But as for right now, they've basically been put on the shelf by the university itself because they don't have a membership.
I know all about that.
Just thought I'd pass that along.
We go through that every year with EVMS.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and they're a two year program instead of 4 year. So yeah.
Well, I think the challenge at Longwood is going to be to get the underclassmen, not mm-hmm. the seniors who are frantically trying to get in the hours of community service that Longwood requires.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be nice if they would have dropped their members before the end of June so that they didn't accrue these dues on the 1st of July.
Well, I'll be happy to have a conversation with whoever needs to have it offline and I can explain it.
Well, I understand it. Like Beth said, we went through this with EVMS, and you actually have to get somebody to contact LCI and get them to drop them retroactive. And
I don't think they will.
Well, we did it with EVMS. You know,
the rule changed though last year, Ray.
I know
they're hard and fast about that now. They no retroactive anymore. I think that bill is just going to have to get paid.
You know, we'll see what we can do and get them back on track again. Yeah. But for right now, with the current situation, I don't know that that's going to happen before winter anyway.
Well, Helen, you know, you might want to talk to Farmville's the sponsoring club, correct?
Yes.
They might want to consider just paying that bill.
And I've got a few tips for you too, Helen, if you want to talk to me separate. So.
Okay, that'll be great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Lion Mac did a good job with EVMS cleaning them up. So.
Yep, we can do that.
Yeah.
Just so you'll all know, VDG Greg is working on Farmville and with Longwood also. He found out with them about a month ago.
Yeah. Okay. So, DG Scott, you're saying that people are not considered in status quo as of May, but by the interpretation of that rule, if those four clubs were in status quo prior to May, which they were, I would say that their club members are not eligible unless that gets cleared, correct?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay, well, we have some cabinet members from a couple of those clubs. So
we need to check because I think Ocean View, Ocean View may have paid their dues. But like I said, I don't have a current health assessment. Uh-huh. And again, the difference is not in good standing and suspension or financial suspension. I think they're two different definitions. I've asked a question of LCI legal and because we want to add it to the constitution and bylaws. But we'll get that straight. I don't think there's a problem for the second VDG meeting on the 31st of August. It doesn't affect anybody.
Yeah. Well, in good standing, it does mean your dues are paid.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, status quo means you're suspended overdue because you haven't paid for 90 days, but in good standing means you're paid in full. So
right. No, yeah. I agree with you. And there's a difference between the definitions of status quo, financial suspension, and in good standing. But
yes.
I mean, the bills come out the 28th of June is when they're added to the statement. Does that mean on the 1st of July you haven't paid your dues, that you're not in good standing? There's got to be a 30 or 45 day, you know, reasonable time to get those dues paid. And this is not a normal situation that we're in, I think. This is a very different.
It is abnormal, but I think with a little effort, we can get most of the clubs caught up. And as of 11:30 today, Norfolk Ocean View was still not showing as paid on LCI.
Okay.
Because I went through and checked all of the clubs in the district today. But if it's in the mail, if the check's in the mail, I don't know when it's going to get there.
Yeah.
My club, my treasurer said he paid it Wednesday night, Thursday morning. It hasn't shown up today either, so I will be checking again tomorrow just to keep running down the list and shortening it up.
Well, my region went from 14 clubs that were on the shit list to six, and that's in less than a week. You know, just the zone chairman called them up and said, hey, you know, you need to get this done. Boom. You know, but I think Gloucester and King William are in trouble. Gloucester's president has got diabetes and he's lost both of his legs in the last 6 months. And he was the glue that held that club together. So
really, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Helen wants to speak.
You know, this Helen or the other Helen?
You.
Me, Helen. Okay. Just as an aside, Lion Homer sent out the notice today to the region chairs and so forth to let us know that we had clubs in our regions that were in arrears, basically. So I sent out an email. I blind copied everybody that was on that list and sent out an email explaining to them why they needed to get caught up. And, you know, I think by 6 o'clock, probably, I had about five clubs that came back and said, we're taking care of it. One even called LCI and paid over the phone. So, you know, they're taking, I think they want to be in good standing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah.
Well, I think it went really well, Lee. You had 24 people.
Wow, that's good. Good.
Good thing you didn't know that.
You had twosies. You had some twosies online, you know, with other people.
Yeah.
Signed in there. So I don't know. Yeah. We're gonna have to put you online more often.
Well, yeah, I need more practice for sure.
Oh no, I think you did a good job. It went well.
Thank you. Yeah. You're most kind.
No, that's sincere. And Lion Helen, Helen too. You did a fantastic job the other night as well.
She had a hard subject. Wow.
The SMART goals. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate
yes.
that.
Yes.
That's tough. She yep. got a lot of nerve.
Yeah.
it's no biggie, but it was, if people get it and it helps them to strengthen their club, then we're good.
Right.
Well, I had some texts from people saying, I'm going to have to contact you. I think I need more training on this. So that's good though. That's, you know, they were listening and taking notes and yeah.
PDG Beth, just send them my way. I'll be glad to help them.
That would be great. Great. Okay. Well, I think unless there's anything else in the interest of the group, I think we're done this evening.
Ellen, can you hang out around for a minute?
Thank you, Scott and Beth, for your help.
Oh, sure.
Thank you, Lion PDG Lee. That was wonderful.
See you tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Ellen, okay. Can you hang around for a minute?
Okay.
Be there, be square.
Okay.
Ellen, hang on for a minute.
Okay. Good evening.
Helen, me, Helen?
Yeah, you, Helen.
Oh, okay. How much trouble am I in?
Nothing. Not a bit.
Oh, I'm not in trouble because I was baking muffins while we were listening.
Couple,
okay.
A couple things possibly for
okay.
Longwood. Yeah, that's true. I can do that.